but over the last 200 metres, More Joyous is clear. She's in front. Oh, we should never have doubted her. More Joyous is going down to the post to win the Queen Elizabeth. Sacred Falls is coming after him. He's coming fast, but it's a done deal. He's hanging on grimly. He peaks when it counts.
Queen Elizabeth, this is a silver jubilee moment, on the throne for 25 consecutive wins to equal the record of the Great Black Caviar. But she's well clear, Winks, inside the final 100 metres. Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Very elegant the outside. She's trying her hardest. It's a Dave, and Very Elegant in a ripping finish. A Dave's lifting. He fends off Very Elegant and Delisand, and a Dave goes back to back. The Beast of Britain's done.
All his intentions are good, and he sits in a room with a lock on the door, with his maps and his medals laid out on the floor, and he likes to be known as the Angry Young Man.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
G'day, thanks so much for getting our year-round carnival preview edition of a super day's racing at Randwick tomorrow. No angry young men here, just Vince Accardi and myself, Racetrack Rolfie, looking forward to having a good deep dive into this. Good morning, Vince.
Hey, top of the morning, Rolfie. Here we are. I guess it's going to be a sunshiny day in Sydney tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's looking that way. And really, they had a bit of rain earlier in the week, so they put up soft six. Information that we give is as accurate as we can make it at, 10 to 6 on a Friday morning, of course, because you're getting this. We'll update everything tomorrow morning. But how are you expecting the track to play with the rail out 4 metres? Or three? Is it 4 metres? From the 1400 to the winning post.
3 metres or four?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's 4 metres, 1400 winning post, 3 metres remaining.
Yeah, that's right. So, Realistically, this is going to be, you're going to turn for home, you're going to be in the lanes, Rolfie.
Yeah.
So, those first six, closest to the fence, they all get advantage. And this is when the on-pace horses, Stalkers up to midfield, get huge advantages.
So, that's your starting point mindset.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. All right, what we will do, we'll go through the four group ones in order, go to the 10th, and then flick through some of the other ones. And, of course, that means the first one is the Oaks, 2400, the traditional distance. And this is a fascinating setup for me here, Vince. I'm real keen to get your take. Of course, Orchestral, dominant odds on favourite, narrow winner in her first Australian start over Tutor Levita and Zardozzi off a soft pace. You got Quintessa from a very fast Mooney Valley lead-in. And Autumn Angel just brings that little bit of different form and looks got a bit of a set-to-peak profile. How are you seeing the pace in this race?
Blow average, for sure. Yeah. No speed. Where's the real speed? So this is very, very interesting about how slow this race could be run. If I'm sort of reading the signal reasonably correctly in this staying race, minus 10 to minus 20 is the range, Rolfie.
Which is not unusual for an Oaks.
No.
We do see him sometimes dawdle, and then it becomes that sort of building of speed from the 800. Orchestral started, a couple of days ago, about $1.50, $1.55. It's now $1.65. Mm-hmm. The question being, what is its true New Zealand capability, and what did it bring at Rose Hill last week?
Well,
last start.
The beauty is this. The performance last start is a new PB for the horse.
Right.
At Rose Hill, 0.4 below benchmark. And if we put the stress tester on it, the race matrix, it's indicating we could be as generous as benchmark. So this is basically what a benchmark horse.
Sorry, buddy. Basically, and I want to sort of back the truck up for people who didn't get what you said a couple of weeks back, which is she looked a lot better than what she was doing on the clock.
Absolutely. They always look very impressive in in New Zealand, but that's very similar to Tasmania, if not worse, in some meetings.
Right.
Some meetings.
Yeah. So at the time, you know, you're keen on Zardozzi, place on the side, post-race, you said, well, hang on, Tom Marquand just sat there and just tracked Orchestral all the way in the run. The question was, this is its grand final. Has Orchestral got more to give? Has Zardozzi got more to give?
Well, I'm assuming that the reason why this, you know, horse Orchestral, how do you pronounce it? Orchestral is so short is because it's a proven at the distance. It's the only thing I can see. We talked about this on our podcast, Ralphie, that if we look at energy efficiency, there's no question Orchestral had the better run than James McDonald. I'm not going to say he outmaneuvered the other rider. The reality was the other rider was just following James. And
yeah.
So when James took off, he got that two and a half length gap, and he could only reel in one length. So you've always got that disadvantage. But it looked to me that Zardozzi is going to be every bit as strong at 2,400 as Orchestral, even though the stable may not feel the same way. Because I've been thinking about that as well. You know, this is, again, coming back to this whole big circle of the Cummings or the Blue Jackets camp is what I want to call it, is they wanted to run last week thinking that they were a better chance to win that than this, or were they going to run in both?
Well, I think they had their options open, and then when the track was this is on the Friday, thinking, of course, when the track looked like it could have been bottomless, they'd say, well, let's just wait for our grand final.
Well, this is the opportunity. I personally believe they can win this race with Zardozzi. I do feel that Zardozzi, whilst it's not, you know, like, you know, many lengths better horse, I feel personally just on the last start performance and where they're trending, that we are in a situation where Zardozzi, we don't have a ceiling on this horse. And I feel that if you run to benchmark, that, you know, this is just keeping it pretty humble, you're going to be getting the prize. And we do have to remember, this horse has got a 2,500 meter performance, 0.4 above, which is better than Orchestral.
That was the Oaks win. And after that Oaks win, you said there's a potential Caulfield Cup horse. So her second up win at Rose Hill was Dynamic. Everything points that she's going to bring at least what she did in that Oaks.
Well, put it this way, Ralphie. This looks like an outstanding betting proposition.
Yes. That's all I want to hear from
you. Yeah, I mean, that's the reality, right?
Yeah.
Because there's not many chances. That's what I like about the race being outstanding. It doesn't mean it's got the absolute wood on Orchestral, because Orchestral could evolve from one run to the other. Who knows? Maybe it's thriving in Australia and could improve, and we will give it that respect. And we always got to remember that jockey has some little edge over the other, right?
Yeah.
So we got to bring all that together. So that means if there's a one-length gap, see, I feel Zardozzi is a one-length better horse than Orchestral based on data.
Yep.
Now, how are we going to reel that in? Well, J-Mac might be worth half a length. Now, if they've got the same plan and the boys in the Blue Jacket, who've got some very smart people in there, can't come up with their own plan, right?
Yep.
And not ride and say, just follow J-Mac, perhaps they could, you know, beat that horse by a length. Either way, I don't see Zardozzi missing the first three, and it is absolute bullshit that price, you know, in the red for the other horse. Absolute crap. There's no way.
And just to underline for those getting this service for the first time, when you say outstanding betting proposition, you keep the place on side big time, and if it runs a place, you'll make profit on the race.
Well, it's like this. If it's an A-grade bet, it's 2 units to win, 10 units a place. That if it's a C-grade bet, it's 1 for a win, 4 for a place. It's very simple mathematics.
There you go. Just touch on a couple. Autumn Angel, she got some set to peak about a slow tempo race last week. Caulfield last spring, she beat Tropical Squall, the dual group one winner. And Peter Moody elected to say, well, you're just not quite seasoned enough. I'll put you out and I'll aim at Sydney. So has she got what does she need to get to the level of a Zardozzi?
Well, I feel it's not so much about the level of Zardozzi. To get to Zardozzi as we stand right now, the gap's only like a length and a quarter.
Yep.
And it's virtually very, very similar profile to the odds-on priced horse Orchestral. There's not much between them either. There's only like half a length as well between them two. The difference is this, though. the race shape will dictate Autumn's Angels' opportunity for victory. And this rider that's on board, Zara, he's brilliant when he can get in a situation where it's a sit and sprint. And this race is looking a lot like that. Problem that may happen for Mark Zara is that he will obviously need to be very conscious. Now, it's not a big field, but he just needs to be very conscious that he's in those first five lanes, six lanes maximum. Because if he moves a little bit outside of that and, you know, perceive it to be the middle of the track, which is probably eight or nine off the fence, you actually disadvantage, A, to cover the little bit of extra distance, and you actually lose 1 to 2 lengths against the horses closer to the inside. If he should be able to easily get a split in the home straight, and if it turns into a dead set 500-meter sprint, this runner's got the biggest kick in the field. And could surprise. Could surprise, right? And so this is a runner that I clearly have as a possibility of running top three or four.
All right, anything left to say with Quintessa and Tutor Lavita, given we've got four group ones to get into?
Well, Ralphie, we can make a lot of cases for a lot of horses.
But let's stop telling stories.
Well, the thing is, Quintessa's, its best opportunities, the faster the pace, probably the better.
Yep.
It doesn't really demonstrate any. Yeah, it's a grinding stay. That's correct. Spot on. Fair enough. The other runner, Tutor Lavita, I thought that performance was really good last start. It does have some acceleration, but again, it's not superior to Zardosi or even Orchestral. Autumn Angel owns that.
Sydney Cup, first leg of the quaddie. Favourite for the race coming off the quick backup Circle of Fire from the Kieran Maher stable, and then you've got the Tancred form from the likes of Carlapore and Ash Run, I suppose Athabaskan as well, obviously. So how are you seeing the pace in this race in the Sydney Cup?
Well, Serpentine pretty much is going to be one of the two key runners along with Major Beale. And the intel sort of indicates just purely off their last two starts, we could see Benchmark and we could be as slow as like -4. I don't believe it's going to be much slower than that, because there is a couple of other horses that also put themselves in a forward motion and create just enough pressure to allow this race to roll. Tim Clark, he actually, it'll be interesting to see what he does, whether he wants to sit or not. If he sits, that probably helps Serpentine, and it'll keep the race a little bit on the cooler side in terms of pressure. But if Tim decides to say, no, the instructions are go to the front, own it, and make it a test, then, you know, we're a chance to sort of at least get to that benchmark level. Well, look, it could go faster, but right now I'm just sitting here, Ralph is saying -2, -4, -5, and if Timmy Clark decides to sit, geez, that'll be very, very good.
Circle of Fire on the quick backup, so the emerging type runner, big and down in the weights, which we get with Kieran Maher, import first start, imported jockey, wide barrier. Is it a chance of conceding a long way?
Well, it might be a chance of not getting in the lanes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's this is another runner who does have, you know, great acceleration. And you've seen that come to the forefront last start over 2,600 metres. I can't see that going away. I actually probably see that increasing. It's hard to say. The horses up front, they don't have that sustained capability to keep going unless they get it slow up front, which does bring these other horses into the race somewhat. Yeah, Ralphie, this is it's an awkward race, and if I look at the current performance of this horse, you know, around that -1.5 range, could it improve off that? Well, it probably only needs to maintain it to be, you know, competitive, doesn't it, Ralphie? So I sort of understand why it's hard to ignore a horse like this. And I don't really believe it matters where you are in running, because you've got so much time to get yourself into the position. Could the rider get lost? It's interesting that they've got this rider on board.
Well, I think it's because of the weight that's probably restricted how many riders they can get. So,
well, what's the weight?
Because you 51 and a half.
And what, there's no one that can ride 51 and a half in Australia?
Well, the ones who can are probably taken. So
Unbelievable.
They might want to scout wide or just get someone to fly in, given there's $2 million up for grabs. But yeah, there you go.
Fair enough. This is a competitive race. It's one of the chances, Rolfie.
All right. So just quickly, because obviously it won't be a betting race for you, but for those we're talking quaddies as well, so we want to get involved there.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Carlepaul won the Tancred as the lead in there, and as I said, the form line with that includes the likes of Ashrun and Athabascan.
Well, this is the reason why I put this horse on top. If I'm just working the race purely on who's got the best profile right now coming into this race, class-wise, purely from a sectional perspective, this horse owns that. I felt that the performance last start of 2400 was rock solid, good tempo, first section, 6.8 lengths below benchmark. Loved the. Not only did I like the mid-race move, which was almost 12 lengths, but what I also loved was that actual performance between the 8 and the 400 was 5 lengths above the benchmark standard. And then the last 400, Ralphie, was still 2.7 above. The question you got to ask yourself is does that mean that maybe now this horse will run really well at 3,200 metres? Or do we just forget that run of Flemington? I mean, right now, my mindset is I'm forgetting that run of Flemington, right?
Yeah, why the Melbourne Cup?
Just forget that, right? Yep. And just look at purely how this horse is trending. This is a good stable. They absolutely know how to work stayers. And I just sort of sit back here. It's all about that tempo. If that race shape's nice, this will help this horse get 3,200 metres. There might be a question mark last couple of hundred metres whether the horse can hold on. You know, with its finish, that is.
Yeah, and speaking of the Melbourne Cup, a horse who ran fourth at it last year, Ash runs in this race, and what an amazing job they've done, given it missed over, 3 years racing from the Melbourne Cup of 2020. It won the Pakenham Cup and a strong performance there, and it ran third there to Carlepaul last start.
Well, I'm sure this stable will be pretty excited about how this horse is going, Ralphie. You only have to look at that last run. Very, very strong. I mean, this campaign for this horse has been fantastic. Second up, 5.3 lengths below benchmark, but when I put the race matrix on it, it's far more aggressive than that, and it was franked with that last start performance at Rose Hill when it went 0.7 below off a reasonable sort of pace, 11 lengths below benchmark is what it was travelling, but it can't be denied the mid-race squeeze was 17.8. The last 400 was really strong. In fact, this horse was building the clear sign about how ready it is for 3,200 metres, and it's proven at 32 as well.
Has Loft got any chance you've put it in your most advantage, I suppose, on its all-time class? It obviously was brought over for the Melbourne Cup, missed a lot of racing, and this time it's been building, but it just hasn't shown much, unfortunately.
Well, I feel that the first problem was that last run, I've forgotten it. 19.1 lengths below benchmark first section. That's not the issue, but the squeeze of almost 20 lengths is. It was a non-winning position, Ralphie, but it just kept coming. And then there was a little bit of a drop-off over the last 200 metres, and when I look at that drop-off, it was like 1.9 lengths drop-off. That actually gave me a lot of encouragement to feel that this horse was actually in need of that run and now coming to its top, and they've done a top job with this horse. Now, is it going to repeat what it did overseas? Generally speaking, no, because when you have those big layoffs, obviously things weren't right, and they generally run 2-3 lengths below their profile. But even with that 2-3 lengths below their profile, I did say to myself, well, if it runs right up to its absolute best, take off a few lengths, that actually still puts this horse in the plus one zone and therefore dangerous.
So you got a 3,200 horse with black shin on, and you're saying be wary of leaving it out, giving it $61.
Maltese, looking for a longer price horse in your quaddies, it's a must include. Don't cut corners. Have him in there.
I just want to ask you about one because I give it a chance, and it's at a double figure odds, and there's not much above benchmark work in this race, and mostly Cloudy's a horse who has produced that, and this is only its second Australian start. Didn't have much luck at Flemington last start, and it's shown little glimpses, and it has got 3,200 form from overseas.
Yeah, yep. Well, it's another horse. If we just look at that last start performance, hard to knock him. I thought it was right on point, one length below benchmark, in line with the sort of competition we've got here. Very, very solid when I look at that last 800 metres off a good race shape, very similar to the other runner we just spoke about. This is 7.2 below benchmark. Didn't have the same squeeze. It was only 9.7 lengths, that mid-race move. But the last 400 metres, 4.6 lengths above benchmark. All the trends the right way. But is this the right setup? I don't know. You know, I sit back here and say, I don't know if this is the right setup. But this is another stable, very hard to ignore. They tend to get their horses very fit, Ralphie.
Mm.
So, and I look at the run of the last time, I'm going, well, yeah, all those signs. It's like maybe they're exchanging notes with Nisham.
All right, let's get to the big one. $5 million up for grabs, Queen Elizabeth. How good a race is this? This is just an absolute beauty. We saw Vias Estida perform an amazing run first up, and, of course, the mighty Pride of Jenny, who set the pace when Cascadian knocked her off and busted open Mr. Brightside. Firstly, Vince, before I get your forecast on what you think the pace will be, how often have we seen two form lines with such contrast here? Just explain the difference in early speed between Pride of Jenny and Vias Estida in their leads. Is it 35 lengths difference?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, 15 and a half lengths above benchmark Pride of Jenny and Vias Estida. Well, it was wanting to break the hurdle record, 22.4 lengths below benchmark.
So what did we see from Vias Estida off a slow pace? Because as we often say, you know, it's one thing to say a slow pace, but if you can sprint unbelievably, then be wary of knocking it.
Well, a few things. Number one, this is the type of thing that I like to see. It might be a little bit over the top, that squeeze of 25, almost 26 lengths for 2,000 metres. I always say like 16 to 20 is like absolutely golden, but for this horse to reach another 5 or 6 lengths in terms of extension, that's like another adding like another second of acceleration and then still run almost 10 lengths above benchmark for the last 400 metres, which is that pace there, when you sit back and really give it some thought, Ralphie, that's elite level at a sprinting situation. So they always say, if you're a star who has elite sprinting capabilities in terms of 400 metre acceleration, they win you a lot of races.
Well, 3 weeks between runs, I suppose there would have been some wariness of flatness if that was such a huge exertion. And again, for those getting your service for the first time, the squeeze is that improvement of speed from the 800 metres to the 400 metres. But 3 weeks between runs, I would imagine, would be absolutely ideal for it. And before we did that, our preview podcast on the Saturday before her first up run, you said you did a real deep dive, and this is plus sort of 6 level. That's you know, that's on the podium just below that sort of Winx level that we've seen in Australia for a middle distance horse.
That's right. And one of the things that when you look at the Waller camp, they're very good. They know they've been practicing the 21 days between runs for quite some time, particularly when they feel that horses have had tough runs, and they know the importance of that. Again, as we touched on, Ralphie, in that lead-in, we didn't expect that sort of performance from the horse, obviously, but I actually didn't even expect a plus 3, right? I was quite happy for this horse to run a length or two below that. And the reality is it was a 3.1. The race matrix is sort of just, you know, haircutted it by about a half a length. But even still, knowing that this horse is still going to improve, right, off that run, it's pretty, I won't say scary, but it puts you exactly where they need to be to have a crack at the plus 6 that they own. Now, I haven't put that on our dashboard to say this horse is going to run plus 6. My view was I didn't feel I needed to, because if you run where you are right now, and this is all about, you know, my mindset about it when I'm looking at how I want to tackle a race, if I feel that I should be betting in, if I know that I haven't scored it right up to its best, like the other two runners I have, then that gives me a little bit of comfort to know, well, if you just run to last start performance, you're a high chance of running one, two, or three.
So as we touched on, Pride of Jenny, though, will make it a totally different pain barrier for her. So what are you expecting from Pride of Jenny early, and what are you expecting overall from Pride of Jenny?
Well, this horse is becoming the new star, isn't it? Pretty quickly, in my view. The rider was on the wall last campaign, and it's continued to do that. If the horse runs one or two or three lengths slower through the first section, it just wins that race.
As in the Australian Cup?
Yeah, the Australian Cup. And I sit back here and say, who's going to test this horse? Nobody. Nobody's going to test the horse. This is even less pressure. Tim Clark absolutely isn't going to with Lindemann. I'm sure they're going to be trying to win this race, right? So he's going to be quite happy to be five or six lengths behind it.
Yep.
And therefore, this is a real opportunity for this horse to get out and roll 10 lengths above benchmark.
Yep.
And that'll be the cruise zone for this horse, which means be prepared for a super gutsy last 400, and there's no way that horse is going to tank out. And the other plus is it's going to be 100% in the lanes. So there's not one negative that I could find with this horse at all. And if it repeats what it did last start, this is at 2,000 metres of plus 4.5, then Via Sestina has to go close to its overseas best to win.
So you're saying it's as exciting a race as everyone else is thinking on paper?
It is an exciting race. My biggest headaches was this, Ralphie. Like, what do you do with Brightside? I reckon it's done. And I'm scared to say that, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking to you very humbly here. I am scared to say that because they can still come and bite you, but I couldn't take any other position. And what I feel is happening, when I say it's gone, I don't mean it's gone as a racehorse. I feel there's a couple of little, geez, I'm picking at straws here, fundamental errors with the setup for this campaign. So they had this 140-day break, and they did sensational. They peaked with about a 5.1. This time, they come in with a much shorter break, 91 days, and the horse hasn't quite got there, even though it started off race one superbly, 3.5. And that might have demonstrated how fit the horse was. Very little time out, if any, right? Maybe a few days. And I don't believe this has worked for him. And last start, it doesn't matter how you look at it, we can look at this in many, many different ways. Horse couldn't beat it under no scenario. Why would it beat it tomorrow?
It's very hard to make a case for it. And as we've identified, and this was no hindsight in it, we said it beforehand, the Cox Plate run, it wasn't flattered because it was enormous, but it was a rare, moderate, even tempo Cox Plate rather than a fast tempo Cox Plate. So Kryptonite seems to be a fast tempo 2000 for it.
Correct. So if we have a situation where this is going to be the scenario where they just go slow, then that'll be great. But if they go fast, what's Craig going to really do? You know, he's forced to be in a benchmark position because he has horses around him that have bigger 400-meter accelerations. He can't afford to give them a head start. He can't. He cannot do it. He cannot give Via Sestina a four-length head start and think he's got any chance of even getting close to it. He has to be in front of it. So if he's going to be in front of it, therefore, he has to be travelling four lengths faster than Via Sestina and has to be somewhere around benchmark because, I mean, realistically, Ralphie, Pride of Jenny is going to go plus 10 at least.
Yeah. So Cascadian, I hate saying age, but sometimes it's worth asking. Quick back up, 14 days off that brutal, huge performance as a nine-year-old. Any concerns there about backing up?
Well, I thought it was a tremendous run, yes.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Yep, no doubt. And the intel also indicated there could have been a little bit more as well to come. The 14 days can't be a positive for him. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a pressure race.
Yep.
And this is a horse that's very fit. If it turns up, then it's going to be in the finish again. Although, this is a little slightly different because I don't believe Prytogeni is going to go as fast.
Which means if you're conceding as much ground as it did at Flemington, it's going to be an impossible position to reel it in.
And it does have, this horse does have a big sprint.
Yep.
As well, right? It can have, and this is why it's a competitive horse. It does have a big sprint. Still not as good as Versustina, but ultimately, I feel you're on point, Ralphie. It's a peaking run. Can it double peak? I say no.
I'm going to take a little multi with Buckaroo and Lindemann running places. Only for, and you've put Lindemann in your most advantage, and I just want to include Buckaroo as well because it had to also produce that massive squeeze. And I can just see Blake Shin sort of ducking, you know, just sort of pinching runs here and there as he does because he's such a freak jockey. Are they chances of hanging on for, you know, putting to that third sort of area?
Well, here's the
Aquarius on the other.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If we really think about Lindemann,
yep.
Have we truly seen the best of this horse?
Probably not. He's a 2000 specialist.
That's what I feel as well. Now, we know this horse's capabilities on what we'd seen in the past was at least around that 2.5, 2.6 range. The challenge was, at that stage, there was no way we could comfortably indicate this horse was at a peaking level. In other words, that's as good as it can go. Now, since then, it has been demonstrating that it's looking to run to that level. Well, that run two starts back clearly put the writing on the wall. 2,000 metres Rose Hill, it produced a 1.9 above IVR benchmark. The race matrix is indicating 2.5. Therefore, in my view, we're running now to the exact same level when I first thought, wow, what have we got here for potential? The bubble burst a little bit for me, but now they appear to have this horse on track. It's not a horse that has like a bullet type acceleration, but it's a real serious grinder and will love this sort of tempo, particularly if they take a sit. I mean, Tim Clark's definitely going to take a sit.
But
if he wants to fight up front, well, he'll be the first one to have the white flag, unfortunately.
And probably have his last ever ride for the Wallace table if he does.
Yeah. And Buckaroo, I see why you like that horse. It makes a lot of sense as well, Ralphie. The only little negative is this. We are coming back in distance. Is that going to work for the horse?
Yep. Fair enough. All right. We'll decide in the morning pass or play as far as the business perspective. That's our setup there as Queen of the Turf. Fascinating race. Big field. Just wondering once I started doing some digging, Vince, if it's a deep field.
Well,
as far as chances, I mean.
I just sat back and said, okay, I'm like you, Ralphie. Is this a one-horse race? Even though I look at it and say, but it's a big field. I must be dreaming. How could it be a one-horse race? There's a lot of horses here. And then I just sit back and say, what are the negatives in a one-horse race? Right? Because I'm going to a tissue, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying, is barrier two a negative?
Wouldn't think so.
Well, that's the only item I could find. Is that Blake's just got to get out in the home straight. He's guaranteed to be in the lanes. It's the only thing he has to do. So he's just going to sit quiet, allow everybody to do what they've got to do. He needs to split. He gets to split, the horse wins. I know it's weird, right? But that's just that simple. The question is, will he get the split? If he gets the split at the 350 mark or the 300 mark, this horse will win this race, Rolfie, just even on current profile.
So there's no concern of flatness 2 weeks from the Australian Cup?
No.
For you. Right.
No, and absolutely why? Not. Well, let's go through it. First section, the horse has gone 8.3 lengths above benchmark. Between the 8 and the 4, it's gone 2.6. You've seen a dramatic downgrade in the acceleration. And then the last 400 metres was 3.1 lengths below benchmark. In fact, I felt the taper was really even. Had this horse gone another 4, you know, I'm talking like a plus 5 or plus 6 range between the 8 and the 4, I would have been really worried. But this horse had tremendous baseline fitness and couldn't be in a better place. Now, the question is, it comes back to 1,600 metres. Well, right now, I feel that's like a golden spot for this horse in terms of distance, Ralphie.
they would have done nothing with it, and it other than put it on the float to bring it back.
Yeah, and it'll be a pressure race.
Yep.
Which means you should come from a fast run 2,000 meter race.
So where's Zoo Gotcha Fit, given its favourite at the moment?
Main rival.
Yeah.
100% the main rival, no question. It has to be. A, with the performance that it did last start, when we look at the intel, it was 0.9 above, slightly behind the Rose Hill run, but on the Matrix, Matrix is saying it's rock solid plus two, which I tend to sort of be in tune with. This is that, but that's about its level, Ralphie. It's about a plus two horse. It's definitely not as good as a tissue. It's going to get back down. J-Mac's got a completely different scenario. He's got to make his run at the right time.
Yep.
And he's got to make sure he gets in the lanes. But he probably won't be looking how to get out or how do I find my run where Blake may. Because when it's a big field, you come around the corner, you could get compressed and you might get caught. You see, you can get caught, especially if the forward horses are coming back on you. It can happen. So that's the difference between the two. But they're both in top form. All the trend lines are sort of indicating that Zoo Gotcha is ready now to peak. Now, I'm not sure if it'll go to the 3.5 or 1,500. Everything sort of indicates this run is more like around two lengths above the benchmark standards, about where it sits. And that's what I expected to run to that level.
So when I said a thin race, I thought maybe four chances. You're saying one, so I better go ask you about the other four. Tropical Squall will obviously be in the lead pack. It's a, you know, the Waterhouse Bot Stable will have their tactics spot on, and it'll get first chance. But are you saying that there's concern that there could be high pressure and it could be busted open?
Well, it has to be a concern. I mean, of course, this stable, they have their horses rock hard fit. It could be argued, well, hang on, if we go on the Randwick run last campaign in September, the horse went 7.7 lengths above benchmark, still travelling 2.7, trying to do a mini Pride of Jenny, and won the race.
Yep.
So I guess if you're a fan of it, That's fine. That my view isn't so much that. My view is the horse ready? For sure. But this horse has to go to a brand new PB. I don't know if it's got that. I don't know if it's going to just miraculously find two lengths, because the way the horse dropped off when it produced that peak, it's not, well, you know, you could look at it and say, well, you went 7.7 lengths above early. Perhaps that's the reason why you got that real drop-off. Like, I just feel that even when the horse has gone, even at a softer tempo, there's always something to be said about this horse's last 400, because I reckon it's a one-paced horse, Ralphie.
And there's quality chasing it.
Yeah, that's what I get it why they go to staying races, because that's what I feel this horse is. It's a horse that's going to love over 2,000 metres. It can just grind at a particular pace and gradually drop off. But here, it's going to do all the work in a tough race up front. Where are you going to go? You have to be out of marbles at the 400. You have to be like, there's no more petrol left.
Well, you use the phrase brand new level. Is there still a chance that Alendia's still got a peak to come? Very impressive last start.
Yep. Well, it's run right up to its profile. So that's where it sits right now. The question is now, can it take that next step? Well, if we look at the structure of that race last start, couldn't have got it any better. 5.8 lengths below benchmark, slightly slower than the first up run. First section. The mid-race move was well inside this horse's wheelhouse, going 7.3. So that's the acceleration between the 8 and the 400. And then a maximum extension last 400 of plus 7.3. Tommy Berry's ideal for this horse as well. So there's no, you know, there's no negatives from that perspective. We've got to go up 100 metres. I don't see that being any challenge. I feel that it's all perfect. The question is, so this is why I keep coming back down to the one horse race. How are you going to just find a length and a half to be competitive? You see, you can be in on the podium on your current profile, but if let's say a tissue is going to run not to its absolute top, just to its profile of around 2.8, you have to find 1.5 lengths. Where's that going to come from? So let's say it does come, Ralphie. Okay, you find the extra 1.5. That'll just now make you competitive for first, second, or third.
All right, so of the four group ones, the two that at this stage you're very keen on is Zardozi and Tissue.
And then we'll talk about tomorrow, you know, why, you know, I give a lot of thought about if you're drawn inside, what that's mean. Because see, when you identify with the horse you want to potentially back,
yep.
Then you've got to look at and say, okay, what's the level of risk that I'm willing to put? Because I'm confident I have identified the best horse. And that's my first step as a form student. I want to identify the best horse first and yep. then look at the pros and cons about whether I should or shouldn't back. And then if I don't, see, this is the thing with me. It may work for some people and not for others. I don't then go and want to, unless there's two horses that are virtually equal, I don't want to go and look at the second best horse because I'm already downgrading my capabilities of winning because I want to back the best horse all the time. And sometimes there's two equal and then you have to make a split decision, left or right. But when it's not there, let's say I'm negative tomorrow on a tissue because I just don't believe it's going to get a split. I don't want to back the next best horse. It can win without me.
You'll either be on a tissue or not playing at all.
Well, and then we're going to talk about what's the risk. How much should we outlay?
Yep. Okay. Get that. So they're the four group ones. We'll pick up the pace here. Pride of Jenny style. Race 10, red card, just in dynamic form. Can it run 1,200? If it can, it'll win, won't it?
Well, I just love your, let's pick up the pace. I'm putting the anchors down mid-race. I love it. No, Ralphie, that's a great point that you make about the 1,200. Well, I can't see why not.
Yeah.
Let's just go to Eagle Farm. There it was. I know it was 0.7 below benchmark. The race matrix is given it a little bit more credit. There's nothing startling in the horse. So this is the thing with this horse. This is another horse that's like this. I feel it is also a one-pace runner with some acceleration. It's got what I call a standard acceleration. A standard acceleration for me is benchmarked around that plus four range. Many, many horses can do that. Okay, some can't do it off a faster tempo, and most can do it off a slower tempo. But this horse is that sort of horse. He's a bit of a grinder with one type of acceleration, and once that's used, there's nothing left. But this horse has come back in top form, Ralphie, and it's right on target as well to hit its PB. This is coming back to the philosophy that we've talked about many times over the years, and this is how most horses, after they've had their first full campaign with no interruptions, they chase that for the rest of their life. And this is what more than 70% of horses do, in many cases up to 80%. And now this horse is doing the same thing. It's got a peak of around that 1.8, 1.9 range, and that's what it's trending to. And I like that because at least you know if this horse peaks and gets 1,200 to the fullest capacity, it's going to run 1.8. And then you've got to ask yourself the question, who else can do that?
Well, you've got on your most advantage at the moment, Tashi and Wee Nessie. They're probably exposed, and that's probably where they sit. The question is, can something emerge? And the other two I want to ask you about then is Saltair behind a very good filly in Estriella. And even though the overall time was modest, Cox Plate, it did show it's got a big sprint. So given what you've said about, you know, the pinching runs like with a tissue, is this the type of opportunity that Craig Williams, if he does get split, she's got a dynamic 400?
Yes, she does have a dynamic 400, but
off a soft pace.
Yeah, if it runs off that pace, Ralphie, you know where it's going to be? It's going to be out in the boondocks, and Craig Williams might have to retire.
Yeah, righto. And the other one, only because I'd never get this table right, Same Magique with blinkers on. It's a headache horse.
Well, it's a headache horse, but you know what you do with headache horse? You make sure they're there. Right? So I made sure because I'm looking, because it is a headache horse, because this horse has got a rock solid plus two profile.
That was second in secret in the Cormor of 2022.
Yeah. So you just look at that and say, hold on. A repeat of that puts you in a dangerous place, right? Now, recently, it hasn't really been delivering to that level. So the question's become this. Had the 308-day break, had a whole bunch of runs, and they've given it a short break. I don't believe it's a typical big style setup. This means, you know, hardly no time off. And the runs, they've been good, and it's been dictated by race shaping. All three runs, The first up run, 8.7 below, big negative for the horse. Excellent squeeze in the mid race, giving you, you know, going what, 14.2 plus 5.5 above. Drop off late, that's enough to say, okay, the horse is off the short break, is pretty fit, Ralphie, because I see, this is how I gauge it. I'm trying to work out how much time do you have in the paddock off 98 days? Because a lot of these trainers, number one, if they keep them in the paddock too long, they're losing money. So I like to think like that, right? I want to be the trainer. Because if I was the trainer, say, mate, you're not going into the paddock. Just keep
Can't make money out there.
Yeah, there's no money out there. I need to get my 5,000 every month, right? From this person or these 10 people. I don't care, right? So why do you reckon, what, do you think trainers are, they're all saints? No, mate, they're all business people, right?
Of course
they won. Yeah, I agree. Because if they weren't, they should get out of the game, right? But, of course, I understand he also has a lot of talent. But there it is. The proof is there, Ralphie. Last 200, it was 0.8 below benchmark. The deacceleration between the 4 and the 2 and the last 200 metres was only 1.1 length. That indicates to me off an excessive mid-race squeeze, which was a record for the horse, says to me you were very fit. And then where's it trended? Again, race shape related. Second up, Randwick. Very unlucky, I felt, with what it lost between the 4 and 2. Lost almost 2 lengths and then rebounded really hard. And then last start, back to this slow pace. I don't believe they're going to have that problem tomorrow. I think it's going to be a good run race with good speed. This will help Tim Clark and give this horse every chance to maybe repeat somewhere near the 2.
All right, we'll miss the first two. We'll talk business tomorrow if you want to. But let's start with the midway. Million up for grabs. There's a lot of the phrase I like using here, Vince. Trainer's intent. Territory Express is the favourite. It's shown some really emerging type of talent. Tavvy Time, I couldn't have said it any clearer last up. Be careful taking odds on in lead-up races. This is its grand final. And Straight Acer, well, last spring it ended up running a place in a Group 1 race and it was real form. Has it got some set to peak about it tomorrow? So this is a really interesting race. How have you looked at this race?
Well, I guess the starting point is, maybe you can help me here, Ralphie. What do you know about the trainer? Territory Express.
No, I went to read up about it, so not much. I can't add much there.
Can't add much?
Nope.
Well, that's going to be the big thing, isn't it?
Yep.
Because this is what I believe this is what it's all about. And see, now we're going to come back down to business, right? And these are all the challenges. I'm a big believer. It's not hard to find the winners. It's hard to back them with the right money.
Yep.
That's the hard part. So now, on performance, I'm with you. What a great performance last start. 2.1 above, franked by the race matrix, improved from one run to the other, which is sensational. And I'm sitting back here and saying, okay, where's the negative? Well, first up, Kemble Grange went 5.7 below benchmark, first section. Last start, it goes 0.6 above. Improves by almost 6.5 lengths and frank that it can run with speed and be competitive. Then in the mid-race, first up, it was an 8-length squeeze. Last start, only 0.2. Probably a little bit of flatness, Ralphie, right? From being used up with a lot of energy. Couldn't use the same acceleration in the mid in terms of sustaining. Had to breathe, relax, get that aerobic working correctly. And then the last 400 metres, this is what I found most interesting. 6.5 above at Kembla Grange, 3.7 above at Rose Hill. When you look at it just purely off that look, you'd say, oh, well, the Kembla Grange was bigger. No, it actually wasn't. Because when you line all the mathematics and you look at the variable swing on how much easier you went through the first section compared to last start, your last 400 metres should have only been around plus one. But yet it was plus 3.7 with a little bit of a dip between the 4 and the 2. And then this is how I frank it, Ralphie. I just go to the last 200. They've run virtually identical to what it did at Kembla versus Rose Hill. So now I look at this train and say, two good, great runs.
This is one of his two runners he's had in the last 12 months. So
yeah, and I'm just sitting there saying, I'd love to see you win because that'd be great for great for racing, great for the trainer. He's got a really top horse, and I hope the horse is training himself.
Yep. All right. So Tavi Time, conversely, set for this race and straight acer, like I said, ran a Group 1 placing and looks set to peak after disappointing the market first and second up.
Well, I feel Tavi Time will have its challenges in the sense that it definitely has to run to an absolute new PB. And if Territory Express just holds what it did last start and the trainer, you know, has got it on point because he doesn't have too many horses to look after, then I don't see Tavi Time actually beating it. Now, Straight Ace is a different situation. This horse does have a rock-solid profile that sits firmly in that 1-2 range and therefore quite capable of delivering. The question is this. Is it going well enough to run to that performance? The trends are indicating that this, if you look at the previous campaign, there's a possibility we're going to see that emergence tomorrow, which is what obviously what he's targeting, right, as a trainer. And the distance is perfect. You know, you got to remember Collett. You just got to get him on the right day. If you get him on the right day, you just make a lot of money. If you get him on the wrong day, you have to go and get a few extra pillows.
But it's his first ride on this horse, this prep, and he rode it three times last prep for three wins.
Yeah, so I'd be a lot more concerned with Straight Acer than Tavi Time because this horse has got the score on the board and is capable, Ralphie, of doing it.
Yep. All right. Well, they're the main ones from that race. Let's have a look at the other two races that we want to have a bit of a focus on. Race four. Well, this is a fascinating race too. The Percy Sykes in that. Does Bloody Camelot just win? Is there any sort of fall off the cliff element that we have to be concerned about?
Well, what was the real reason for scratching last start?
Well, I assume they thought, well, let's try and win with Stormbird, but we don't know from outside the stable, do we?
Oh, you mean Stormboy? Yeah.
So he did fall off the cliff, but this is 3 weeks between runs for this filly.
It's like a 9 filly, isn't it?
Yep.
But, you know, they're just coming from the right stable. Well, here's the reality. I actually personally feel this is very good that they stayed at 1,200. Like, if you were looking at wanting to bet and this was your horse, you couldn't fault this race. It's going to get the perfect running transit. Don't worry about the barrier because it's just going to come across and find its spot. There's no problems at all, this horse just getting the slot. One off the fence, maybe. That's up to Blake what he wants to do. Does he just want to sit a length off it? Because you can see two darn Lizzies there, right? What do you reckon his instructions will be? Not going to be too hard to work out, right? And it's not going to be too hard to work out what Chad's going to do as well, right, on Ladies Zodiac. So there's that. It's going to get the golden run. So it just has to hold its form, and it wins by 2 or 3.
It's a good starting point.
Well, that's the reality, right? Because the rest of them haven't been able to break benchmark. And I made a mistake last week. This is a little bit different, this one. Last week's mistake was in that first race. Because I'm a bad boy and I just flick races when they're well below benchmark, that winner of that last race, when I was looking at it, I was going, you're silly. That horse had three, four lengths minimum on the competition.
Which minimum. You said on the Friday.
Yeah, minimum.
Yep.
And here I am. Didn't even give it a consideration because I could have made money. Now, you know, I am talking after the event, but that were the facts because I'm only looking at the facts. What did I learn from that? And that's what I learned. Now, here we have probably the same scenario but in a more dynamic way because this horse is already franked around the 1.4 range, Ralphie, and has it, I'd say, borderline 2 lengths to 3 lengths on the whole field minimum. So it's hard to go against that horse. So if you don't want to back that horse, then you're going to be in the land of the bookmakers because that's what the bookmakers want. They don't want you to back that horse. They want you to back the others.
Well, it's 250. You would think if it's right, it'll start evens, and if it's wrong, well, you don't want to be on anything.
Well, it is from the Waterhouse stable. They, you know, they're maestro men there too, right?
Yeah.
So they understand the bookmaking world better than most, and I understand it as well. But the reality is I can't help but feel they go in there to win.
And the Arrowfield Race 5, Osmosis is the favourite. Bomb the Start and the Galaxy. Talent-wise, Are we repeating what we said in that previous race? At this stage now, Schwartz has got some emerging talent, no question. But on what they've done to date, is Osmosis just clearly the best horse if it jumps?
Well, it's hard. It's like this. Right now, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely clear cut. And you would actually say to yourself, it's clearly better. But there are, like you said, there's one or two. There was at least one horse that showed glimpses of super talent, and then there's Schwartz, right? Who we don't really know yet, right? But the reality is, yes. I mean, it's just sad what happened.
Yep.
This was the race. Nothing they could do about it. They still got a good hit out. Here we are, Bjorn Baker, rebound.
It makes a lot of sense. So Schwartz, like I said, the emerging sort of horse, ran second first up, unfortunately, to the ill-fated, as they say, Brave Mead since. But you would think that from the time Johnny O'Shea got this horse into the stable, this was his short-term target to peak second up in this million-dollar group too.
Yeah, it has to be. And obviously, they're aware that it's got ability. It was a nice, gentle first up run. But what we can get from inside is this. If we just sort of look at first up to first up, we can see that the varial gap, the gap between the two runs is around 3.5 lengths. So we can confidently say this horse has improved somewhere between 1 and 3 lengths. And it was even further franked with that second up run at Moonee Valley last campaign. And then we compare it to this first up run. Again, we're seeing the clear sign that this horse has improved at least, not less than 1 length. So if I use that as my guideline, then we're looking at a horse here that's going to be on the low, somewhere around 0.5 length below benchmark, and on the high, somewhere around possibly 2 to 2.5. Therefore, it has to be some sort of a chance against Osmosis if we're drawing that bow, right? And we have to when we've got lightly raced horses and we're trying to ascertain, you know, where can they end up? And, yeah, it's there.
So it's not in the early edition, it'll be in the final edition tomorrow. And that the reason being the early edition is your first computer printout and then you start shaping it during the
day. Yeah, and we're correct. And we have this little challenges course in the way it works, and I don't like to distort it too much, is we've got to work with the numbers. But the reality is it is going to end up with a berth.
Yep.
And the other one I wanted to touch on, if you weren't already going to touch on it, Ralphie, was what do you make of Arkansas Kid?
Oh, definitely emerging.
Because I felt last campaign we could have seen a horse that could really rise to a whole new level, well beyond what it was already showing. And then it came out here first up. I thought it was fantastic at Flemington. 0.5 above, 6 best of the day. The race matrix did score it a lot lower, so I have a little bit of caution there. But I couldn't help but feel it was almost benchmark first section. Last 800 metres was rock solid. Gave me the indicator that they had this horse almost completely screwed down. Just a little bit of a taper at the end. Said, okay, that's just enough for you to find a length. And that also puts you in this race. And I love the fact that they've got Zara on it as well.
This is its third second up run. And I'm just talking about from trainers at 10 point of view. It's run third in a Blue Diamond. It won at Caulfield second up. I reckon this is the big target race for this stable. And given how the Sydney market tends to treat the Melbourne form, I wouldn't be surprised if it's definitely a big odds value option in your multis tomorrow.
Well, what price is it?
Well, it's $12, but okay. I don't think it'll get much support in the market tomorrow either.
Well, I can understand that to an extent, because if you just feel Osmosis is too good and you completely forget the last run, then it makes sense, right? The other run I wanted to ask you about is, what were your thoughts on the other Jason Collett ride, Jolly Star?
Well, I did watch the Chris Waller video. I don't think there's any doubt about her talent. I just wonder if this is they'll be delighted if it's top four, but probably targeted in Queensland for more group ones over 1,400 mile.
Yeah. Okay. I
just wonder. Did nothing in the Barrier Trials either, as in asked to do nothing.
Yeah.
You've got concerns it might come to play and blow them out.
Well, I feel it will come to play and blow, not blow them out, but be super competitive. Number one, just the way that Waller's gone through the first two trials with this horse. And if the horse does absolutely nothing, then you have to be a little bit more nervous about going to Queensland.
Yep.
So this horse has got to be able to at least come out and run. And
run well.
Run well. If you look at that first up run at Warwick Farm over 1,100, and I feel this horse is going to be much better suited first up 1,200, Ralphie, right?
Yeah.
There was some real merit in its performance. It was almost benchmark first section, 5 lengths above between the 8 and the 400. Big extension for a horse first up. And didn't have the same setup going into the race. And then a drop off late with a savage slowdown of almost 3 lengths between the 4 and the 2, giving me clear indication that that benchmark performance could have been a lot better. And then the proof came. When the horse won its last race for the prep over a mile, was 0.4 above. The race matrix had scored at almost 0.8. And I say, yeah, that's probably more like where you should be, a minimum plus one horse. Well, if it's an improver, look out.
Plenty to think about for tomorrow. Can't wait. This is a real deep card. And having this conversation with you, I think that's clarified a few things. So hopefully it's helped you as a customer. Tomorrow we'll talk business and the little mini pod going through every race as the accompaniment to your final edition of Race Speed Profiles will be out about 10 o'clock. But in the meantime, thanks so much for being a customer of Year Round Carnival.